Amen. Isaiah 53:1. Amen. I don't know how this is. I don't even know if this is a message or just a. I don't know what it is. Amen. The crickets are already chirping, though. Amen. Praise God. Hopefully, it's not going to be that quiet. Amen. Praise God. The Bible said, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness." That means Jesus didn't come trying to impress with his looks. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But there was a purpose in all this. He was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with, everybody say, his stripes. Everybody say, his stripes. Everybody say, we are healed. I want to preach what God has dealt with me about all week. And it's that Jesus is still the healer. Jesus is still the healer. Set your Bibles down. Lift your hands to the Lord. Come on, we're gonna pray until miracles happen in this place. Come on, lift up your voice to God. Come on, let the Holy Ghost flow through you for a moment. Yeah, Lord, yeah, Lord, yeah, Lord, yeah, Lord, yeah, Lord, yeah, Lord, yeah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I wonder if there's anybody in this room that needs God to touch their body. If you would raise your hands to the Lord, maybe you could raise your hand standing in for somebody that needs God to do a miracle in their life. Come on, let's pray before the word ever starts. Let's pray in faith right now. I receive it. I rebuke all doubt. I rebuke every unbelief. I take dominion in Jesus' name. Sharabosa. Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on, somebody shout, the devil's a liar. Somebody shout it again, the devil's a liar. Hallelujah. Now clap your hands to the Lord together. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I don't know how this is going to work. I'm going to do a little reading, maybe a little jumping. Amen. Get your pencil ready. Amen. Get your heart ready. Amen. Get you some chairs ready. Amen. We may probably go end up in some chairs, letting God do what God does. Somebody told me one time, you get what you preach. Hallelujah. Amen. I preach prayer. Amen. God's dealing with me. I'm about to preach about healing tonight. And I believe God's going to do healings. You know what I feel like? I don't think the healing's going to stay in this room either. I think somebody in this room's going to start praying, and healing's going to leave this room and go to where you need it to go. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. The suffering that happened on the cross, we know, we read it, it was for our sins. Amen. We're well aware of that. We believe that. Amen. The Bible said he was wounded for our transgressions. That means when you go against something, that's a transgression. When you go further than, we passed over the law. He was wounded because we wouldn't stay in boundaries. Amen. He was bruised for our iniquities. Amen. I thank God there was a remedy for my sin problem that I had. I'm glad there was a remedy for my flesh. Amen. Thank the Lord. But, amen, I got a burden, my Lord. I don't even know how to start. Amen. But I just want to preach that Calvary accomplished more than just your salvation. The purpose of Calvary, thank God for the blood, thank God for the remission of sins, that's salvation. But Calvary accomplished more than just eternity. Let me tell you, Calvary took care of some current events. Calvary had the purpose of taking care of some problems in people's life on this side of eternity. Amen. It says that, amen, surely he hath borne our griefs. Everybody say surely. And had carried our sorrows. This word born, B-O-R-N-E, means to lift. It means to carry. And it means to take away. I got a feeling there's a lot of people carrying a lot of stuff they weren't meant to carry. Oh, yeah, we're going to preach a little while out of the Word of God. Hallelujah. You know what made it possible? Calvary made it possible for God to carry some things out of your life. But one thing I've noticed, God don't take things away from people that don't want to let them go. Oh, it might get quiet. I said Calvary ain't going to take things away from people that don't want to let them go. If you want to hold on to unclean spirits, you can hold on to it. If you want to hold on to your hurt, hold on to it. But Calvary made it possible. You can let it go and he'll carry it away. Come on, somebody love the Lord together right now. Amen. I've noticed that anything somebody's willing to lay down, God's willing to pick it up and carry it off for you. Well, you don't know how I was raised. It don't matter how you was raised. If you're willing to lay it down, he's willing to pick it up and carry it away for you. You're talking about no excuse. We are without excuse. If we carry burdens, when all we got to do is lay it down. The Bible said, surely he had borne our griefs. Come on, we're going to make a liar of the devil tonight. Yeah, 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 yeah. When's the last time you thought about just laying it all down? Well, this is just who I am. Well, it ain't who I want to be. Well, I was born a victim. You ain't got to die a victim. Well, I'm abused. You don't have to die abused. You can lay it down. I wonder if the Word of God, I wonder if anybody believes the Word of God tonight. Hallelujah. The Bible said The chastisement of our peace was upon him. This word peace, shalom, it means completeness. It means health. It means welfare. Amen. Calvary made it possible. Amen. You may have come out of turmoil. You may live in turmoil. But Calvary made it possible that you could live in peace. In a world that's messed up. In a world that's turned upside down. We ain't got to turn upside down with them. We can live in the peace of God in our right mind. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody shout, the devil's a liar. Amen. And this is what I want to preach about. And with his stripes, we are healed. You know, healing is kind of like them prosperity things. It's like so many people have abused it till people are almost scared to preach it. But I'm not scared to preach it because it ain't my word and it ain't my promise. And I ain't got to back it up. He's going to back up his own word. And it said, by his stripes, we are healed. Amen. Healed means to mend. More specifically, it means to mend by stitching. Like a sewing machine. It means to cure. It means to repair. It means to thoroughly make whole. By his stripes. I want to tell you, it happened a long time ago. Your promise happened a long time ago. Jesus is not just your provider. Jesus is not just the one that's going to prepare a place for you. But he's the one that took a beating for you. Took a whipping for you. Took an abusing for you. And I want to preach a little while that Jesus is still the healer. You know what I'm coming against tonight? I'm coming against doubt. But I'm going to preach until doubt puts its shoes on and gets out of town. Hallelujah. I believe greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I believe the word of God is sharp. I believe it's quick. I believe it's powerful. I believe it's greater than your problem. Amen. So according to the word of God, if it's grief, if it's sorrow, if it's a physical ailment, Jesus is still the one. Jesus is still your healer. Hallelujah. Luke the 9th chapter. First verse, the Bible said, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils. Tell you, if you got something hanging on to you, there's enough power in here to get rid of it. Amen. I'm not here just trying to pump people up. I'm trying to pump the word of God into you. And if you get the word of God in you, it will pump you up. He gave them power over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house you enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And the Bible said, and they departed and went through the towns. And this is what they did. They preached the gospel and healed everywhere. Come on. Healing is not something brand new. And it's not something a long time ago. It's part of. It's the assignment. So their ministry was two parts. I want you to preach the gospel, which is salvation, which is repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You got to preach the gospel, but then there's another part to it. I want you to help them right now. Too many people think God don't really care about their here and now. And God's been dealing with me for 3 days. Amen. He was as worried about how they felt as they were going to feel for eternity. Come on. He didn't just say go preach the gospel. He said preach the gospel. And when you're done, pray for them till healing happens. If they got cancer, just pray until the cancer's gone. If they got an enlarged heart, just pray until it goes away. Come on. Hey, I got just a little while to go. Hang on. So I want to talk for just a little while about the reason sicknesses may occur. So we know what to do. When Adam sinned in the garden, death passed through every man. Only 6% of the deaths in our world are accidental. The other 94% are just Grandpa Adam. Just the body wearing out and decaying and malfunctioning and sickness, disease. 94%. It happens to everybody. Amen. If you live long enough, you get to experience it. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. You know what that means? It's dirt on the outside. It's gonna fall apart. It just happens. There's other reasons sickness may happen. Job understood. I just preached about this a couple weeks ago, I believe. That he got a disease because God was testing him. He said, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Amen. I believe it with all my heart. There are things that happen to people to test them. I pray to God you pass the test. When I went to school, if you didn't pass the test, you got to take it over. Another reason sickness may come. David referred to it in Psalms 38 and 3. He said, there is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. He said it again in Psalms 107 and 17. He said, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Some sicknesses come because people don't do right. Deuteronomy 28, what I quote all the time, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above, I'm not beneath. I'm blessed when I come in, I'm blessed when I'm going out. But if you keep reading it, that's for the obedient. And he goes on to say, I will remove all the plagues or the sicknesses of Egypt from you. But if you keep reading, he says, but if you are not obedient. Then he begins to list some sicknesses of the Egyptians that will come to the people of God. Amen. Praise God. Sure is quiet in here. I'm just talking a little while about why sicknesses may come. And then we're going to get rid of them. Numbers, the 12th chapter. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Amen. Miriam and Aaron had a little racism in their spirits. And they rose up against the pastor and started talking about his judgment. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? Ain't we used to God too? And the Lord heard it. They had a little meeting at the tabernacle. And Numbers 12 and 10 says, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. I want to tell you, you got to overlook the man. And don't put your hand on the position. Hey, men are men. Men make dumb decisions sometimes. Men may not think like you think they ought to think. Moses got him an Ethiopian. And Miriam didn't like it, and she put her finger on it. She got a sickness. I'm just preaching about why sicknesses may come. The Corinthian church, the Bible said in 11 and 27 of 1 Corinthians, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. He's talking about the Lord's Supper. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, means they gone. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. You know why this sickness was coming up on the Corinthian church? Let me tell you, in church, there are sober moments and there are moments of celebration. And you better learn the difference. When it was time for the Lord's Supper, it was serious business. And your mind was supposed to be on the cross and the suffering, the blood and the body. And they were bringing their big old buffets and they were having a big party and calling it the Lord's Supper. There's a time to party, and there's a time to drink the cup and cry your eyeballs out. Amen. And they didn't know the difference. Amen. I want to tell you, church, you got to learn how to feel after the Spirit of God. There's times you don't even need to be talking to anybody else. There's times you need to pray with somebody else. And there's other times you need to run to the altar and get a hold of the horns of it and say, God, help me. Man, we got to understand the things of God. We can't take them lightly. You got to get a fear of God in your life. Amen. The young man that touched the Ark of the Covenant and he did it the wrong way. Grieve all you want, David, but y'all should have figured out how to move the Ark before you started touching the Ark. Come on. Amen. The fear of God is so important in people's lives. If you don't get it, you'll step across lines you should not have stepped. And when you step across them, you become like the Corinthian church. And you're going to figure out God don't play games when it comes to his word. Amen. There's things you're supposed to do, things you're not supposed to do. Amen. And then some sicknesses have nothing to do with the person at all. John 9:1 and says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents that he was born blind? See, they had studied the word of God. They knew something must be wrong here. Let me tell you, not all sicknesses is a whipping from God. Not all sicknesses are a test of God. Not all things are a correction of God. You just got to live your life searching your heart every day. Amen. And so they just thought, surely either this guy or his mom and dad have done wrong. But Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I feel the Holy Ghost in this way. This man's sickness was simply so God could walk past him one day, anoint him, and him. Hey, I believe all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Hallelujah. Sometimes sickness comes and disease comes just so God can show you how big he really is. When I got tick fever, I didn't do anything wrong, I don't think, to deserve it. I was loving God, loving my family, praying every day, paying my tithes, getting along with everybody, doing everything, and I got sick. But guess what? The next day I got a healing. And when I got a healing, I said, I can't wait to get back to church. Come on, Pastor, let me see that microphone. I'm fixing to tell this church that God is a healer. He's a miracle worker. Shut up. Hallelujah. So, here we go. There's many examples, and I didn't get to all of them. I'd have to preach all night. Many different situations, circumstances. But there is one source for every one of them. One source to take care of every sickness, to correct every disease. And I went back after looking at the examples of different reasons why sicknesses come into people's lives. And then I went back to Isaiah 53 and I read it again. And I began to notice that God did not categorize sicknesses based upon circumstance. But he simply said, by my stripes. By his stripes, we are healed. He does not categorize as long as your sin was not a sin of Miriam's, I'll heal you. He just said, through the prophet, by his stripes, we are healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The healing doesn't come based upon why you got sick. It's getting kind of quiet here now. Healing is not based upon the purpose of your sickness or the origination of it. But your healing simply comes by your faith in the power of the Word of God. In Acts, the 14th chapter, in the 8th verse, Paul is preaching. And the Bible said, there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, meaning he had no strength in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, whom never had walked. But this crippled man, the Bible said, heard Paul speak. Hallelujah. He heard the preaching of the Word of God. Maybe some people are comfortable in their sicknesses. My Bible said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When Paul began to preach the Word of God, I don't even know what he's preaching about. But the man that was crippled heard the Word of God. He was looking at Paul. Praise God. Let me tell you, when you're broken down, it's easier for God to get your attention. He was beholding him. Paul was watching. The man was listening. And Paul perceived that he had the faith to be healed. So Paul's preaching. He's a crippled man. A man that needs a healing. Paul's preaching. And he looks. He may have been preaching Acts 2:38. I don't know. And he looks at this man. And he's got discernment. And he realizes, this man has the faith to be healed right now. Like, it wasn't just Paul preaching, but there was something from that man coming back to Paul. He felt faith coming back. So Paul just stops the sermon. And he says with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and he walked. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. God's got the power to do anything. God's got the power to heal any sickness. He's got so much power, he gave it to his disciples. You can do it. You go lay your hands on people. Is there any sick among you? Let them call the elders of the church. Anoint them with oil. Pray the prayer of faith. can do it or not. It's whether you got the faith to believe it or not. Praise God. Hallelujah. God, open the ears of people in this room tonight. I felt it Monday night. I was praying it, and it come to me. It ain't whether God would do it. There's a lot of people dealing with a lot of stuff that if they would just hear the word preached, what would you have to lose? It come to me Monday night. What would you have to lose to just try God? I tell you what you got to lose. You got to lose your pride. Problem with us is, say us, the American church. We think we got it all together. And if we can't get it together, one doctor's appointment, 17 different drugs, we'll get it together. No, it ain't. It's just covering stuff up. It ain't fixing nothing up. The healer's name, Jesus. Come on, faith cometh by hearing. I want somebody to hear it tonight. By his stripes. You double shot. By his stripes. Praise God. I don't know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, we've gone through in our country 120 years of I don't know how to say it, but without just saying it, people who tried to capitalize on healing and manipulate people. And through that would abuse people and take advantage of people to the point where it almost, I think it dampened people's faith in the healing power of God. I want to tell you, I don't care what Mr. Brannon said. Bless his soul. I don't care what he did. Amen. But well, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I want to tell you, you can't go up on people that's messed up. I know people have done gimmicks, and I've read the books, and I've seen the articles, and people did gimmicks and all kinds of garbage, and people would roll up there in wheelchairs that were not supposed to be in wheelchairs, and they would share the money with them and stand them up and act. And people just began to catch on to stuff. You know what it did to a whole generation of people? It made them not want to hear anything about healing. I believe the devil tried to steal healing from the church. I never really seen it until I read it again today. It just stood out that he sent them out to preach the gospel and to heal the sick. Like he cared just as much about the one cripple, cared about his legs just like he did his soul. I want to talk about a God that loves you more than you can imagine. Come on. Come on. People get this description in their mind of a God who's standoffish and cold-hearted and cruel and wanting to judge you. That's just not how this Bible reads. When you look at God manifest in the flesh, his name was Jesus. And he walked around and the Bible said he had compassion on them. He wasn't saying, man, if I do a healing or two, I'll get a bunch of people in the church. Oh, I might have just stepped on something. We can have a little scene or two. We'll have a 50,000 member church. Jesus wasn't like that. He was moved with compassion. And even though he was moved with compassion, he never acted on it until people got the faith. He walked by sick people every day with a heavy heart. But every time somebody started saying, Jesus, it was something in his spirit that couldn't keep walking. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. When it would go into his ears, he went all the way to his soul. And he would have to turn around. Be quiet, Bartimaeus. I can't turn. I can't go on. I gotta stop. I gotta perform this miracle. Somebody's got the faith. They're calling on my name. They're calling on me. I'm going to have to stop the program for a minute. And I'm about to perform a miracle. He's on the way to Jairus' house. Jairus' daughter's about to die and the crowd's thronging him. All of a sudden, a woman with an issue of blood crawls through the crowd. They know he's a healer now. This woman's crawling through the crowd. If I could but just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. I'm telling you, she came behind him. Touched the hem of his garment. And when that faith contacted him, the Bible said virtue began to flow. You know what it was? It wasn't Jesus' answer. Who is that? Okay. Be healed. He was already pre-programmed. When her faith touched the hem of his garment, it happened. Suddenly, her sickness was dried up. At that time, Jairus, somebody runs to him. Don't even mess with him. Don't worry. It's okay. She's dead. But he was already moved. I can't stop now, Jairus. Whose report are you going to believe? Don't worry about it. She's dead. I know she's dead, Jairus. I know your baby's dead. But I'm the one that gives life. And there was something pulled him all the way to Jairus' house. What was it? Jairus, it was your faith that he was a healer. He goes, that day when there should have been a funeral. Matter of fact, I think the funeral people were there, weren't they?
And maybe that was another one. The trumpeters were there. When Jews would pass away, they would hire musicians to come and play sad songs. Help me cry. Sing me a sad song. And Jesus said, get all this sad stuff out of this room. You know, I think I'm on another story, but it's good, so I'm just going to preach on. Get all the sadness out of this room. Get all the sad music out of this room. He said, get the blues out of here. How can I do a miracle when everybody's sad? Faith over and over again produce miracles. I feel the power of God in here. I was praying Monday night. Come here, Brother Gee. Where's Brother Gee? Tell that story again about Michaela. The Lord told me at the end of the prayer meeting to let Brother Gee tell the story.
Well, it's probably been now. It's been several years. This went on for 7 years. She was about 2 years old. We took her to the doctor. And through all this, I was going through a sickness. I didn't say that yesterday. I was going through a sickness at this time too. Fighting with my health and couldn't keep myself up. I would lose control of my legs and everything and crying and dealing with this. But she had a tumor at this time, and I told my wife, I said, I would rather see my daughter healed than me, but whatever God decides to do in my life. So me and her took Michaela over to the church. We was living right by the church, and we would pray for Michaela. We prayed for her at the house, and I would cry, and I would tell God, I said, God, you give me my kids. I don't understand why you give her to me late in life. And God spoke to me, and he said, I give you your children to keep you saved so you will serve me. And so I cried out, and I said, God, you heal her. So we took her to the doctor, and she went through the scans, and the doctor said she's got a tumor. And he said, this tumor, it's getting big. It's big as a softball. He said, it's growing bigger and bigger. He said, we're going to have to watch it because it may be cancerous. And I told my wife, I said, we got to keep praying because I got to trust in God. I said, if God wants to take her, let him take her. But I said, I want to give a chance to God for him to heal her. So we kept going. And the seventh time we went, I cried. And I said, God, whatever you want to do, you save my little girl, whatever. We walked in the office, and to see your baby go through this, see her lay on this machine, and they had to put her to sleep. Tears were rolling down my face, and I would shake, and I said, God, I don't understand why I got to go through this. And God said, I'm going to show you why you got to go through this, because you're going to have faith. It's going to take you through your healing. It's going to help other people. And so as she was going through this, we went in and seen the doctor, and this doctor said, I don't even believe in God. He said, but today something changed my mind. He said, I want you to see this. And he showed me the scan. He showed her brain, and he showed it where it was going, disappearing right in front of our face, disappearing and watching it go away. And he said, it's not cancerous. He said, but it's God that did this. He said, I believe in God. He said, whatever you're doing, you keep doing it. I'm going to tell you, church, it was God that healed Michaela. She's sitting right over there right now. I've seen God. We took her a few months ago. And he said, there's still nothing there. He said, she's healthy. She's good. She said, keep praising God for what he's done.
I want somebody to say, if you have faith, come on, don't focus on the why. Focus on God. Hallelujah.
And I want to say one more thing, church, as I was saying this. And I don't want you to focus on me, but I want you to know that God has took me from healing her. He healed me through that. He healed me faith. I was taking handfuls of medicine to keep me alive, to keep me on my feet, to keep me walking. And I laid in a hospital and I screamed out to God. I said, God, you can heal me just like you did my baby. And as that, God started taking me off of medicine. Right now, I'm on two medicines right now. That's heart medicine and that's blood pressure medicine. And I'm believing God, he's going to heal me from that. If God can do what he did for my baby, he can do it for anybody in this building. He can do it for anybody today. So he's done two miracles in my life. He's done a lot more, and he'd keep going if we believe in church.
Hallelujah. If you got faith, if you have faith for a miracle, stand together. If you don't need anything from God or you don't have faith, you're dismissed. But I felt Monday night like God. I felt God tell me if you will implement this into this church. It's not all about the gospel. It's about where they're at right now. God wants to save people. God wants to heal people. Come on, just begin to pray. Come on, right now, I want you to begin to rebuke every doubt. Come on, the enemy will give you 1,000 excuses why you can't be healed. Come on, they're going to line up some chairs across this front. Hallelujah, we're going to take it back. Ta-da-ba-ha. Come on, I'm praying for some old-fashioned faith. Some old-fashioned faith to enter into this room right now. Come on, my. The work's already been done. Come on, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's start. If you need something from God, let's line up in these chairs. Come on, let's not get in a hurry. I feel like God's got a miracle for somebody. Come on. On this miracle time. It's miracle time. Come on, let's not get in a hurry tonight. I feel it in the Holy Ghost. Thank you. Come on, Holy Ghost. Come on, nobody get in a hurry, please. Come on, pray. Arabaha. Yada. Come on, as you pray, rebuke every doubt that comes into your mind. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Come on.